The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's game time. Join Anthony Herron for the Game Plan. We'll discuss the top stories of the week in the world of sports and entertainment. And really, whatever else Big Ant feels like talking about. Now, here's your host, Anthony Herron. Get down, get down.
America, for the better part of the next hour, I am your voice. This is the Game Plan with Anthony Herron. Appreciate you tuning in here with me on a Tuesday evening. I'm just back off the road from the D.C. area. Took last Friday off from our National Game of the Week on the NFL Network. Had to get my boy over the broom, Mr. Liddell Betts. Congratulations. An old teammate of mine from the University of Iowa, old roommate, good friend of mine. I was in his wedding, and he got married over the weekend. Liddell was not the, he wasn't the guy at the top of the list from all of us from back in the day as far as thinking who's going to be the guy that's going to get married sometime down the line. He wouldn't have made he wouldn't have made the short list. You know what I mean? Eventually you get down to it at some point and you think everyone's got a shot. But found the right woman and they got married. Had the nuptials on Friday in the D.C. area, so congratulations to Liddell and Shatara. It was fun. Good wedding. You know, good to have the weekend off. I still had to travel. Of course, I had to get on an airplane, as I do every weekend and usually during the week as well. Nice outdoor ceremonies right in the D.C. area, somewhere called National Harbor, Maryland, because everything there in D.C. is so congested anyway. You got D.C., you got Virginia, you got Maryland, and it all kind of comes right together in its own little, I don't know, tri-state area kind of setup. But you can cross state lines real easy. There's one point where you can have your both feet and your hands all kind of intersecting in the different states or provinces or whatever you would consider D.C. to be a part of that group. But it was a good weekend. Made the mistake of walking around the National Mall in jeans. I mean, it was hot. Like I said, it was an outdoor ceremony, and it was extremely hot in the D.C. area. I thought I was getting away from the heat a little bit because it's been unbelievably hot in Alabama up until the last few days here, but man, it was surprisingly hot in D.C. So we're going around. We've been to D.C. a few times, and we went back to the Lincoln Memorial, Washington Monument, and you know, some of the veterans' memorials and everything, and walking around. I don't know, for whatever reason, just being a creature of habit, just because I spend most of my time indoors anyway, and so I haven't really gotten into the habit of wearing shorts yet in the spring and in the summer here, because I'm usually in front of the computer, in the studio, in an airport, in an arena. So I haven't broke out all my shorts. And for whatever reason, just being in the habit of doing it, this is one of my rare occasions where I just had a day on Saturday to go and walk around outside a little bit, and I kept jeans on. It was a big mistake. I mean, man, I had to lose like 10 pounds. But anyway, it was our nation's capital. It was good to get back up there, and happy that that my buddy got married. It was a good time. And had lunch. I told the folks at the old Epic Grill, I would say this. I had lunch on Saturday, met up with, you know, some of the other friends and old teammates that were in town for the ceremony. Went to the old Epic Grill. It's apparently the oldest bar in Washington, D.C. And, man, they had good food. I'm a big fan of seafood. I had crab cakes, and I had some kind of crab and artichoke dip, and I don't know, I had a couple other things, had some kind of fish there. I don't even remember what kind of fish I had, but had a bunch of different fish dishes. Great restaurant, the old Epic Grill. So hello to Chris and everyone else who's out there tuning in. Chris was the manager. Had a little bit of trouble getting us seated at first, even though we had a reservation, but the U.S. was playing the World Cup game, and there was a bunch of folks in there. But they eventually got us seated, our whole party of six, and we enjoyed the meal. So the Old Ebbitt Grill, if you're in D.C., go ahead and check it out. And speaking of those friends that I was having lunch with, one of them is going to be called into the show today. Carolina Panthers punter Jason Baker will be my guest at the half-hour mark. I'm going to get into some NFL off-season talk. And even when you look at the situation, I'm just coming back from this weekend with an old teammate getting married. And those are the types of events that you have to plan during specific times of the off-season. You know, you're not going to see NFL players getting married in September, October, or November, December. You know, I mean, those months of the year, July and August, are pretty much off-limits also. But you'll see guys. You know, it's usually February to early March before the off-season program starts up, and then late June and early July where guys will plan in different vacations and events and things like that they try to fit into the off-season schedule, because it's such a regimented thing in the NFL with the time that you have available where you're not missing some kind of team activity over the off-season. You've got to have your schedule suit the time that you're able to give up. So I'm going to talk to Jason Baker, punter for the Carolina Panthers. He's going to call in here to the LS4 hotline today. And like I said, those of you who have played team sports before, you get it. You know, that energetic kind of environment that ensues when you reunite with some old friends, old teammates, and start telling old stories and whatnot. And so you may be able to tell that my voice is definitely still struggling a little bit from the weekend. It's because of that, because you know how it is. You get together and might be a beverage or two that gets consumed with some of the old friends, and you start laughing, you start sharing stories, and a good time was had by all. Camaraderie was at an all-time high this weekend in D.C., so that was great. I'm talking here about the NFL offseason and the regiment of the schedule that goes into it, because you're busy the majority of the year. I mean, the NFL has turned in to a year-round job at this point. And so, like I said, you'll see most guys where they plan certain events just during, you know, you've got a couple of different windows of the off season where you can fit it in directly after the season, and especially if you're with a team that doesn't make the playoffs, which the majority of my time in the NFL, that was the case. And so, you know, you can fit it in February, early March, or then you can do late June, early July, early to mid-July before training camp opens up. Other than that, you're probably missing something if you do schedule yourself around it or during other times. Another thing that tends to happen over the NFL offseason is, as we've seen reported plenty of the time lately, is guys getting in trouble. And we know, you know, the headline of this offseason has been Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, and as a quick refresher on that, he was suspended by Commissioner Roger Goodell, conditional suspension up to 6 games. Sounds like it'll be at least 4, and then he can get a little time off for good behavior. And he's been the one leading the headlines as far as the players behaving badly this offseason. But it hadn't just been him. You know, more recently you've had Vince Young. You've had now Cedric Benson of the Bengals now in the headlines for the situation that took place just, I guess, about a month ago in Texas, where there were some assault charges filed against him. And now Mike Vick's name is back in the headlines, and we'll see whether or not Mike Vick was supposedly involved in that situation. So we're used to it being the case when it's players that are involved in this. But now Detroit Lions president Tom LaWand, he was charged just over the weekend and arrested for a DUI up in northern Michigan. There's a charity golf tournament going on in this town up in the northern part of the state of Michigan, and LaWand, he claimed to the officials that, to the officer, that he was acting as the designated driver, and I guess the police saw him as he drove out exiting the bar. He swerved between a couple of lanes pretty immediately, and they pulled him over pretty quick. This is different, where now you've got NFL executives involved in a little bit of mischief here. And there was actually one other situation that happened with the Detroit Lions assistant coach a couple of years ago, where he was found driving around the Detroit area naked. But LaWand, this is his first first major infraction with the law, but one of the statements that he made to the media, I guess it was that he is, and actually I can even find you the direct quote here, but he said that, let's see if I can find it in one of these articles. It was actually right on ESPN, but he basically said that he's a person in active recovery. That was the direct quote. He's committed to taking all necessary steps to ensure that nothing like this ever happens again. So a person in active recovery, if I'm just going to project what that may mean, it sounds like there's been some sort of alcohol issues in his past before, but not anything that he's been confronted with the law about, or you would think we would have heard of that coming out by now. But it took about an hour for police to actually get him to agree to taking a breathalyzer, and then even at that point he still came out blowing a .21, .20, somewhere in that range is what the reports are. And yeah, I was with the Detroit Lions franchise for several years. Tom Lawan was a part of the organization during the time I was there. I always got along great with him. You know, seemed like a good, level-headed guy. But if he's dealt with alcohol issues in the past, this is going to force Commissioner Goodell not only to review this situation, but to see what's happened in the past of Tom Lawan so he can determine whether or not there's going to need to be action that's taken place in this situation. And then the question comes into play, what type of standard do you hold NFL executives to? Because this is not a personal conduct policy that just revolves around the players. And Commissioner Goodell issued a memorandum, a statement, a warning is probably even the best way to put it, where he sent it around to the league after the Ben Roethlisberger situation hit, telling all the different teams, all NFL personnel, that they need to go ahead and watch their back and make sure they're minding their P's and Q's, because he's getting sick and tired of it. And this league-wide issue needs to be nipped in the bud. And so will there be a different standard that an NFL executive is held to as opposed to what we see from the players, which is not a zero-tolerance situation on an individual basis, which is why it appears that Vince Young won't be having any sanctions coming down on him because he has not run afoul of the law before. I'm going to continue some NFL offseason talk for some of these specific situations and then go into a little bit of a divisional breakdown for the NFC South, because we're going to have Carolina Panthers punter Jason Baker joining me on the LS4 hotline at the half-hour mark of this show. And, of course, a little bit of AFL talk, since we're going to be back on Arena Football Friday this Friday night. We're going to take a short time out and return to you on the game plan.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice of America Sports.
Do you know that over 70% of Americans with severe disabilities are unemployed? Are you one of the 2.5 million Americans with epilepsy? If you are, or know someone struggling with these issues, tune in to Disability Matters with Joyce Bender. On the show, Joyce will discuss these issues as well as others. She will have on nationally known guests that will offer helpful insight on disability matters and let you, the listener, call in with your questions and concerns. So if you struggle with a disability or know someone who does, listen to Disability Matters with Joyce Bender, heard every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Each week, take a visit inside the locker room of your favorite sport with Dez Clark, Paul Fresh Clark, and Lester Scudder Davis as they bring you sportsmanlike conduct. As a current player, Dez Clark can bring you inside the sports world like nobody can. His co-hosts represent the fans of the sports world. With both points of view on the table, it becomes an engaging and entertaining program, to say the least. Sportsmanlike Conduct can be heard Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Cobb is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to BigAntNow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Herron.
Get down, get down. You heard the man, the phone lines are open. The LS4 hotline is 888-346-9144. That is 888-346-9144. Or you can email me. The Quaker Homes inbox is bigantnow@live.com. That's BIGANTNOW @live.com. And, of course, coming to you live from the Mission Design Studio. And I forgot to mention in the first segment that the game plan is always available on demand. You can get it right here at voiceamerica.com or you can download the show on iTunes. That's like, I don't know, four shows in a row or something like that. I got that in. I was so terrible about it when I first started the run of the show, but I got my streak going now. I need to make sure I get that in every time. But before that first break, I was talking about Detroit Lions team president Tom LaWand and how he was charged with a DUI in Northern Michigan over the weekend. And apparently there's been some alcohol issues, and this is just, you know, reading the very easy-to-read tea leaves that he's putting out there. He has not stated that he was ever an AA or anything along those lines, but basically said that he's been in recovery for some time now. I've read you the direct quote in the last statement, but in the last segment. But it's really almost a feat in itself that he was caught so quickly for DUI up in Northern Michigan, because driving under the influence, that's kind of a, I've been up in Northern Michigan a lot. That's kind of a part of daily life in that part of the country anyway. I mean, those people, they do some drinking, and it doesn't bother them too much usually to get in the car afterwards. And I probably shouldn't make light of that too much, because it is dangerous behavior. But I've been up there. I've seen how they operate. And, you know, if police wanted to nab somebody pretty much every night of the week, they probably could, as long as they picked the right vehicle. But an interesting part of this off-season talk with the NFL is that studies continue to come out more and more frequently now with the direction that the league is headed in with brain damage, and how the brain trauma that players go through in the league could potentially lead to some of the bad behavior. And so it's, you know, obviously a league executive who did not play in the NFL, he would not be, you know, a part of this story, but just looking at the, you know, the players running afoul in general, and then, of course, the way that so many lives have ended now in these odd circumstances, and how that's becoming more prevalent in recent years. And so now the league is finally getting behind the study of brain trauma of NFL players and how it can affect them later in life. And there's a group that's been studying this, and the degenerative brain condition is known as CTE, and it stands for chronic traumatic, and let me see if I can pronounce this right, encephalopathy, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. CTE is the much easier way to say it, but it's a form of a degenerative brain damage that's caused by multiple hits to the head, and this was actually found in Chris Henry. The report just came out the other day that there was this form of brain damage discovered in Chris Henry's brain after he died. You may or may not remember that Chris Henry, he perished a few months ago as he was in the back of a pickup truck that was being driven by his fiancée, where they had some kind of argument. She was driving away, and a witness even said that they heard Chris Henry state, "If you drive away, I'm going to jump out of this truck and kill myself." Now, that's, you know, not fully confirmed by anyone else, but there was a witness to the situation that claims that they heard Chris Henry make that statement. The study of the brains of NFL players, it's starting to gain some momentum now, and it's starting to gain a little bit of media notoriety. And it's going hand in hand with the overall issue of player well-being and how retired veterans are being treated. And, of course, you've probably heard of Mike Ditka and this, the Gridiron Greats organization that he's involved with. And that's just one. It's the one most notable organization because it's the one Mike Ditka is involved in, and they're starting to get some momentum. But a couple of other organizations as well. And the league is now starting to respond to some of the pressure that they've gotten over the years to pay more attention to how playing the game of football affects both current and retired players. And what I need to do sometime in the coming weeks before we finish up the offseason here is have maybe one of the physicians or just someone who specializes in the study of some of these activities, see if I can get them on the game plan here so I can talk through some of these conditions with them. I have not personally participated in any of the studies yet, but the literature has come out. There's been, the opportunity for me to do so, and if it suits my schedule at some point, I may go ahead and do it. They're doing a lot of the studies out in New York and a couple of other places around the country as well. But it's interesting to think about that because when you evaluate the actions of not only NFL players, but they studied the brain of Chris Benoit, the very well-known wrestler who ended up taking the life of his wife, of one of his children, and then hung himself. And there have been several situations that have come up over the years where you've got a prominent professional athlete who has a lot of head trauma who ends up either dying in some kind of very unorthodox way or taking their own life or even, suffering from intense depression and having to get treatment for it. This is something to continue to pay attention to because the more this gets studied, the more it's going to call into question how the league not only treats its players, but how safe is it to play professional football, and how safe is it to be a professional athlete playing a sport where head trauma is a major part of the activity. That the NHL is starting to pay more attention to it now that the NFL has finally taken the lead on it. Professional wrestling, where, it may be fake, but these guys are in perilous situations with their bodies. How are they treated? How is that managed in their post-career lives? Looking forward to seeing where this goes. And it's going to take a while. It's not going to be a quick fix. Because then, especially where now the league is talking about the possibility of extending its schedule from a 16-game regular season to possibly moving towards an 18-game regular season. So what in turn does that mean for the players who, and we've heard Tom Brady, we've heard Ray Lewis talk about it. I had Matt Bowen of the National Football Post on the show last week, and I discussed it with him and some of the players that he's addressed the issue with, where, for the most part, there's a good number of players who aren't in favor of this as a move they think the league should make. When you expand the regular season from 16 to 18 games, it won't increase the overall schedule when you include the preseason. It won't increase that from 20 games to 22 games. They would be trimming the preseason and expanding the regular season. If this were to happen, your more prominent players around the league, it would increase the brunt of the damage that they can do to their bodies. Now, it's not because a 16-game regular season isn't long enough to fully determine playoff rosters and to give the fans all the entertainment value they want. It's about money, and if you add two more games to the schedule, you can increase the revenue and the notoriety of the league for another couple of weeks, and then the playoffs end up being, the same length that they are right now. I personally, as I've stated on this show before, I don't think it's a good idea. My vote would be to leave it at a 16-game regular season because I believe the bodies of players take enough damage as it already is. At least there's more bodies around in the preseason where you have an opportunity to divvy up the reps more. And then when it comes down to it, as I've stated before, you give the players who are on the fringe an opportunity to be evaluated in game conditions, the type of game conditions that you can't put them through during preseason practice, that you can't put them through when you're going to scrimmage against another team. It's a completely different environment when you're actually out there on the playing field in a game. Now, then, of course, there's another jump from a preseason game to a regular season game, but there's so many guys who aren't the first-round picks, who aren't the high-dollar quarterbacks, who aren't the franchise-level players, who need an evaluation process in place. So you trim the preseason to two games. I think, in the least, you're not giving those players the ample opportunity that they deserve to be evaluated, not only by the team they're with, but league-wide. That's the simplest version of it. On the whole, you're putting guys at risk. And so I think that's the dangerous part about lengthening the NFL season. If you're going to go from a 16-game to an 18-game regular season, they certainly have to factor that in my opinion. But now, when you couple that with the prominence of these studies coming out and more prevalent names being added to the list that, you know, up to this point, everyone who's played more than a few years of professional football or of collision sports, if you will, it seems to be across the board where almost every brain they've tested, and I'd have to look up and research what the exact percentages are, but I know the vast majority of the players whose brains have been tested have come back with some level of CTE. And again, I can try to pronounce that again. It's chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Now, CTE, as I said before, it's a degenerative brain damage that's caused by multiple hits to the head. And at every position on the NFL field, you're going to have some kind of head trauma going on, even at punter, where he occasionally has to come up and make a tackle. Now, is he at risk? Jason Baker, who I'm going to be speaking to in the next segment of the show, is he at risk to the level that a safety would be or that a linebacker would be or potentially a running back? No, not in the least. But he's a football player, too. He needs to have a helmet on. And so in my next segment, I'm going to be talking to Jason Baker. We're going to cover a few different things. I'm going to talk to him about his off-season activities because he's gone through this now going into his 10th year in the NFL. And he's pretty much got a routine down at this point. He's been with the Carolina Panthers for several years now, bounced around a little bit early in his career, but now he's found his home. He's found his niche. He's one of the top punters in the NFL in recent years. And actually, he just got engaged too, so who knows? We may even get into that as well. But we're going to talk some NFL offseason talk, how Jason Baker handles his schedule, and a little look at the NFC South because the Panthers have been one of those teams in the NFL. They've been the popular pick for that next excellent team to come along. And after that one Super Bowl run they made, it hadn't really been there in recent years. So we're going to talk to Jason Baker about that, maybe even some Big Ten expansion as well with him being an old Iowa Hawkeye. We're going to take a short time out and then get right back to the game plan. Stay tuned.
With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Join G. Cobb in the house every week on the Voice America Sports Channel. This show takes you inside the world of sports from one who knows. Gary Cobb is an 11-year NFL veteran who has almost 20 years in sports radio and television. From the locker room to the clubhouse, we'll talk on the inside with the newsmakers on the sports scene. It's always exciting and full of energy. G. Cobb in the house with Gary Cobb and co-host Micah Warren is broadcast live every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
We all share similar desires to be loved, to be happy, and to feel well. Your Inner Journey is here to support you, inspire you, and expand your knowledge of you. Tune in for new insights, meet our guests, get the inspiration you need to create the life you really want. Your Inner Journey with Penny Calcina is about her inner journey and your inner journey and the things that connect us all. Tune in every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, for Your Inner Journey on Seventh Wave Network.
Joe Cribbs. No Average Joe is here for you, the fan, to hear about and discuss the week's top stories in the world of sports. We'll discuss not only the headliners, but you'll hear some of the smaller stories that don't usually make it on the sports wires today. It's a forum for the sports fan, hosted by Joe Cribbs, a three-time Pro Bowler with the Buffalo Bills. Joe is a 10-year pro football veteran, a former Southeastern Conference Most Valuable Player, and a member of the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Discuss the topics with Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Network.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to bigantnow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Herron.
Get down. Sure to put out the phone number. He put out the email address, but I'm going to keep the phone lines open for this segment as I'm going to be joined by Carolina Panthers punter Jason Baker. I didn't even put out a poll question today, but real quick, I'm going to respond to one email I got here in the Quaker Homes inbox. James down in Birmingham says, Big Ant, missed you last week on Arena Football Friday. It was a blowout. Ended up being a boring game. I hope you can add some excitement this week. James, down in Birmingham. As close as I am to Birmingham here down in Alabama, I believe that's actually the first Birmingham email I've gotten. We've got, you know, Philadelphia, New York, and other spots around the nation. First one from right down the road in Birmingham. So, James, appreciate you tuning in. Glad you're listening. Glad you missed me last Friday night. And this will be the last regular season game that I missed, so make sure you tune in every Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, on the NFL Network. But, as I've stated, joined on the line by Carolina Panthers punter, Mr. Jason Baker, has been one of the top punters in the NFL in recent years. Had a rocky road that he had to go through early in his NFL career, but it has brought him to this point where he is cemented as one of the top punters in the league. And luckily for him, he's also a good friend of mine. So, Jason Baker, thank you for joining me on the game plan.
I appreciate you having me, man. I appreciate all the compliments. I guess I take the biggest compliment as you call me a friend of yours. I guess that's probably the biggest accomplishment of all of those things.
Well, to be able to maintain that with me in recent years, elusive as I've been, yeah, you can count that as an accomplishment. But
yeah, I would say that's a big achievement in my life. Put that on my resume.
Now, before I get into, because I really wanted to talk to you about some of your off-season activities, but before we get into that, tell some of the listeners just about the path that you've walked during your career. I mean, everyone who I get emails from always enjoys when I have people kind of tell their story a bit. And I think yours is an interesting one because as a specialist, there's only one punter on the majority of NFL rosters, and you've gotten to make yourself a career out of, you know, you're at the decade mark right now doing this as a professional athlete in the NFL. But early on, there wasn't any real certainty, you know, to where your next punt was going to come from. Maybe talk about your path that's brought you to this point.
Well, I think the just big picture, the first thing is that I've been cut five times and traded once. I was actually cut twice by the same team. It's kind of a heavy dose to go through in your first couple of years, but it's not that uncommon, really, with guys. NFL teams don't do a good job, really, of evaluating talent, I don't think, and they – and punters and kickers don't get drafted very high, so the leash is very short, and most NFL front office personnel and head coaches don't really know and have a lot of background in specialists. So if they see something not going right, they just cut ties with it and move on. If you see a running back really not developing well, but you drafted him in the fourth round, they're familiar with what running backs go through. They understand that, and they've committed to him in the fourth round. People don't really draft punters and kickers that high commonly. So there's just not that length of a leash, and they don't know what they're looking at anyway. And if the product isn't there and the results aren't there, then they just move on. And a lot of guys go through that early in their career. I don't really regret anything that I went through. I mean, like most people that have been through stuff, they look back and they realize that who they are and where they got to now, a lot of it had to do with where they came from. And I needed to go through a lot of those things, and I needed to deal with a lot of that and come to terms with it and take advantage of the development that came from it and the education. So I'm not too down on it, but, you know, I certainly feel like I paid my dues, and it was a blessing that I got the opportunity that I did in Carolina, and I've just kind of lifted up to the good Lord, and he's taken care of me since. So I just kept my foot to the pedal to the floor and just kept going, and just trusted it would all shake itself out, and it has. But I don't really approach it a whole lot different now than I did then. I still treat it as something that is fragile and that can be lost just as quickly as it could then, and I'm just going to keep tricking them as long as I can until something better comes up.
And we're talking to Jason Baker. He is the punter for the Carolina Panthers, has been for several years now. And you've seen this team go through plenty of ups and downs in your time in Carolina. And John Fox, the coach, has been a guy who his name is bandied about. Whether or not John Fox will be on the hot seat at some point in Carolina. And it seems like the respect maybe that he has in the locker room is part of the reason why, even though the team has struggled at different points in recent years, why he's been able to maintain his job. So from what you've seen so far with Jake Delhomme now departing, you know, the most respected and statistically the leading passer in franchise history and in a young franchise history, and then also the departure of Julius Peppers, Pep as you like to call him, now he's gone to the Chicago Bears. So where does this team go? What is your goal coming into this season with so much uncertainty in the roster?
Well, I think going back to Coach Fox, first of all, I played, obviously, given the resume I just explained to you, I played for a lot of head coaches. He certainly has a unique coaching style, and he generally has always, as far as I'm concerned, had the attention and the he's always had the players on his side. I think he does a really good job of that. I think he's a locker room first guy. I think it would be very foolish for people to think that he's, you know, I realize winning is the only important thing in the NFL and all that, but, you know, it's rare that, you know, like the Chargers were able to do a couple of years ago where they let a very good coach go with having had a really good record, but basically for failing to win a Super Bowl and ended up replacing him with a coach who did similarly as well. I don't think that happens very often. In fact, generally when people make change just for the sake of change, it generally doesn't work out very positively. And I think Coach Fox is probably not the reason that we've failed to make some of the runs that we were probably anticipated to make. I think if you look back, we've had some pretty significant injuries at bad spots that, you know, call it an excuse, call it whatever you want. But the reality is when you rely on 22 to 24 players to do your deal and you lose three or four of them at the wrong spots, you know, it's a significant issue. A good example would be is if you took Peyton Manning out for 6 or 7 weeks in the middle of the season, how would the Colts be? If you took Ben Roethlisberger out like they're about to deal with from the Steelers, how good would they be? We've lost those key guys at points, and it hurt us, and we didn't manage it well. I think there's been some teams that have done that well, but we had not at that point. But Coach Fox, I would think, is definitely our best option. I hope he remains there for a while. I have a good relationship with him, and I think we do have the guys on our team now to make another significant run. I know people probably aren't going to pick us because of the age of the guys in the locker room, but if you look at the leaders on our team and the guys who have proven themselves already, they're in second, third, fourth-year guys. If you look at the Ryan Khalils, our center, has been in the Pro Bowl. Our two running backs are in their second and fourth year, or third and fourth year. John Beeson's as good of a linebacker as in the NFL, and I think he's, third or fourth year. Matt Moore's young. He's doing well. There's just a lot of guys on our team. Our core is just younger, and they're not necessarily household names like Julius and Jake and these guys. But we still have some guys that you can't really forget about, like Steve Smith. And, we've got some, Chris Gambles and these guys that have been down all those roads in the past. And I think that, if we just get some guys to step up, we're not going to be able to play defensive line anymore by having three guys do okay and one guy make 15, 16, 18 sacks in a season, we're going to need four or five guys to go out there and get 40, 50 sacks, you know, however they want to get it. We're not going to probably have the same profiles we've had, but that doesn't necessarily mean we can't be good. But we've already had, you know, another significant injury, and we're going to have to figure out a way to fill in for Thomas Davis, who just suffered an ACL, and it's just a gut-wrenching thing when you see how bad he wants to play. But we've got a stable full of linebackers, and we've had guys, you know, James Anderson and Dan Connor stepped up and last year when Thomas went out and did great. Our defense did really well. Ask Minnesota, ask New York, ask those teams who had to play us late in the year. Our defense was pretty solid, and I think the majority of those guys are back. Obviously we got to replace Pep, but I don't think they're looking at replacing an individual there. I think they're looking at replacing them as a unit. Everybody just picking it up on the D-line, and I think they're probably capable of that.
Jason Baker is the punter for the Carolina Panthers, going into his 10th season in the NFL, his 6th as the punter for the Carolina Panthers. And you mentioned Steve Smith as being, you know, one of these guys that has been injured recently. And now you and I have joked recently, at the age of 32, you're one of the elder statesmen on the team here going into your 10th year. Was the locker room disappointed hearing the news about Steve, or the fact that his injury shouldn't have him out too long? Did it just kind of blow over as something that wasn't that big of a deal?
Well, I think if Steve hadn't already had a broken arm that he recovered from very quickly once already, even in recent past, I think people would probably be a little more worried about it. The one thing I can tell you about Steve, and as you guys can probably tell when you watch him play, is toughness isn't one of his issues. With those kind of injuries, once those plates and screws or whatever they had to put in there are in, and once the pain tolerance is to the point where you can play, you can go, because those, you know, that bone doesn't have to heal totally when there's all of that going on. So once it heals to a degree where they're comfortable with it and Steve can tolerate the pain, he can play. And so with that being the case, I don't think anybody in the locker room fears that Steve won't be around the first week of September. And the reality is, you know, missing camp sucks, but if you're going to have somebody on your roster miss camp, why not have the guy who's already been to 10 of them? You know what I mean? And a guy who knows how to get ready for a season. I don't think anybody questions Steve's ability to prepare for a game and perform. He certainly played with significant injuries before. And I think a lot of people wish that situation didn't happen. But, you know, if you know Steve, you realize he's, you know, it's kind of like putting a wild animal in a cage. It doesn't really work. You just got to kind of coexist with him. He's a great guy, and he's tenacious, and he's active. He's gonna be one of those guys when he's done playing football, you're probably gonna read about him trying all kind of stuff all over the place. So he's, it's one of those things you probably wish didn't happen, but I don't think it's gonna be I don't think the consequences of it are gonna be very severe.
Jason, you're, of course, one of Fort Wayne's finest out of the Indiana area. You've got several off-season activities that you do kind of religiously year in and year out at this point, not only your football camps that you do back home, but you've literally traveled the world visiting troops. Tell the folks a little bit about how you tend to spend your off time.
Well, I would say there's two or three things that I'm pretty avid about. Four now, I've got to add one, being that I just got engaged, so I guess I've got to add that to my list.
Good idea. You might as well put that one on the list, too.
Yeah. I've got some philanthropic interests with a youth program in my hometown that you mentioned, and I've got a different situation that I'm involved in at the Riley Hospital and the University of Indiana School of Medicine, Nursing, and Social Work that we're endowing a chair there to help address some of the continuity of care issues that exist with some of the children with special health care needs, which is something that was close to my family, as my sister dealt with that. And so I've been working on that for 6 or 7 years now. This past year was the fifth year of our youth program in Fort Wayne. And then another one of my interests is our troops and the American military. And I've been blessed to have a couple opportunities to go overseas. I've been to a few places in the Middle East, Qatar, Afghanistan, a couple different places in Afghanistan. I've been able to go to Eastern Europe through all the Balkan regions and visit a lot of the places where we have troops deployed, and it's something that I truly enjoy. And selfishly speaking, it's a wonderful education and experience that I don't know how else you would get that. I don't know how else you can travel to Afghanistan right now. I don't know how else you could travel to some of the places that have been war-torn and are, you know, significant spots in history to And the education, I think, is very important. People need to understand what's going on. So if us doing those things, you know, focuses some attention on those areas and what's going on, then that's good. But I truly love doing them, and it seems like the troops seem to appreciate it. And, you know, even if we can just go over there and break the monotony of their day for, you know, a half an hour, a week, whatever it is, it's worth it for them. And so it's worth my time to do it. And it's actually a lot of fun. So it's really not that much of a hardship to do those things.
And lastly, because we're talking to Jason Baker, the punter for the Carolina Panthers, I've known you well over the years. You're, as much as I hate to admit it when I talk to you, you're actually an exceptional athlete, especially for the guy that plays the punter position. You're a high-level baseball player, soccer player growing up. What is it that people probably don't understand about being a punter in the NFL that's maybe a little bit underappreciated? Would there be something you put at the top of that list?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, and I say this recognizing that people probably would chuckle at it, but it does actually require a very significant amount of athleticism to do it at a high level. It also requires a pretty significant amount of conditioning and strength. You can't, the days of just showing up on Sunday and swinging your legs six or eight times are done, because the length of the season and the amount of reps that are required and just the performance level that's required are far greater than they used to be. And so I spend tons and tons of time in the weight room. I spend tons and tons of time in the training room just preparing my body to play. Most people wouldn't guess that. But, as a punter, you've got to be able to do a lot of things. You've got to be able to catch the ball and handle the ball. You've got to be able to run. You know, you certainly have to be able to maintain your body over the course of the 25 weeks of the season. But I always try to remind people of little things that they wouldn't be aware of. Like, if you're the punter and the holder, which is a common combination, being the punter and the holder for field goals, you actually have to be able to catch the ball as well as anyone on your team. You have to be able, you will catch more balls in the course of a season than any receiver in the league. I'm going to catch 140 balls during the season every year, maybe 150 in games where you're also in a, now granted, I don't have to get hit. I the ball, all that kind of stuff. I get all that. But the reality is, along with that, there's never a point where one of those reps, it's okay if I drop the ball. As if, if a running back or receiver drops the ball on second down, it's shame on him, but we got third and fourth down, so we can still do something. If I drop a ball or mishandle a ball, it's game-changing play, it's pretty catastrophic, all that kind of stuff. So being able to handle the ball is a big deal. But the strength and conditioning piece, the endurance, the durability, it's a little bit like pitching probably in Major League Baseball. These guys spend a lot of time training themselves because it just takes one small injury to the wrong joint, the wrong muscle, the wrong tendon, ligament to make what you do hard and make you basically unable to do it. So you always have to be maintaining and just kind of staying in shape and preparing. And so I've always told myself that if I'm not going to make it and I'm going to fail in this league, it's not going to be because of lack of effort or lack of me trying. It'll just be lack of performance or somebody doesn't like me or whatever. And so I've certainly committed, in with both feet on when it comes to conditioning and preparation. So I am a little bit of a robot in the off season. I start the same time every year and I pick out I have it very regimented and very scheduled, but I think it works and I'm going to see how long I can make it work.
Well, it's certainly worked well for you, Jason. I'm actually up against my last time out here, but I really appreciate you joining me here on the LS Pro Hotline, and I definitely hope to do it again in the future.
Just let me know. I'm on.
All right, good deal. That is Jason Baker, the punter for the Carolina Panthers, playing us to the break, talking about some of his off-season activities and some of his philanthropic work as well. We'll take one last short time out and come right back with a few shameless plugs and a couple more emails in the Quaker Homes inbox. I'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Are you ready for a fresh, candid, and entertaining look at sports? It's time for a radio show that doesn't tackle sports like everyone else. Join former NFL player Nick Murphy for Murphy's Law, Hear it directly from your favorite pro and collegiate athletes, coaches, and media personalities as they dissect what's going on in the world of sports. It's sports, entertainment, and fun, and it's all part of Murphy's Law. Tune in Friday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Never be satisfied. Let that be a lesson you take away from Double Time with Double D, featuring businessman and former NFL star Dave Duerson. We'll talk about the NFL with special focuses on the game itself, and Double D will take your calls and answer your emails live on the show. It's not Football 101, but rather an in-depth look in the locker room, on the field, away from the field, and opening up the mind of the player. The program will also feature positive messages, so tune in to Double Time with Double D, Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
High school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to BigAntNow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Heron.
Appreciations and salutations to Mr. Jason Baker, who just joined me on the LS4 hotline. I want to get a couple of more emails in here before I do a couple of shameless plugs and talk a little AFL, closing up the show, see if I can fit all of this in. Emailing me at the Quaker Homes inbox, BigAntNow@live.com, BigAntNow@live.com. Matt in Atlanta says, Big Ant, I'm a big Carolina Panthers fan. Glad you had Jason Baker on. Would love to hear from the new quarterback, Matt Moore. Well, I guess since you share a namesake with him, Matt, from Atlanta, maybe I'll go ahead and try to get that done at some point, get Matt Moore from the Panthers on, because he's got big shoes to fill with Jake Delhomme being out of Carolina at this point. And, yeah, that's an interesting guest idea. And at any point, if any of you guys listening out there in internet radio land have any ideas for me, feel free to shoot them. And, well, shoot them in my direction. Don't shoot them directly at me. I don't want to get hit with nothing. But, yeah, I'll see if I can make some of this stuff happen. Also, another email from Justin out in Arizona. Justin says, I'm a crazy Chargers fan, but do you think the Chargers have a chance to repeat as division champs again? I'll be listening to your show. Justin, you know what? I do. I definitely think they've got a great shot to repeat. And when you look at some of the other teams within their division that they have been and will continue to be competing against, I don't see any reason why the Chargers wouldn't have as good a shot as anyone at, you know, being able to get the job done. And they have enough pieces that are back and in place where, for me, it makes perfect sense. I mean, I think you almost have to pick San Diego as the favorite when you look at that division, because Denver's in disarray. Of course, we know the Oakland Raiders aren't on the way back anytime soon, although I do like the move they made getting Jason Campbell in at quarterback. Kansas City Chiefs, again, quarterback situation in flux for them. So the biggest red flag I would put up from all three of the other teams in the AFC West would be the quarterback position. Oakland, unsettled. Kansas City, having Matt Castellan is great, but he didn't perform that well, and he was injured half the season last year. And then Denver, with three different guys potentially as the starter. So if I was going to pick anyone, yes, I would say the San Diego Chargers are the team to pick in the AFC West. Getting a quick Arena Football plug in. Arena Football Fridays this Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on the NFL Network. The 9-3 Chicago Rush traveling to Tampa to take on one of the hottest teams in the league, the 8-3 Tampa Storm, led by all-time wins leader Tim Markham. I will be back in the lineup on the NFL Network, so you can check me out and the rest of the crew, including Mr. Charles Davis, Paul Burmeister, calling the action from up in the booth. I'll be reporting from the field, trying to add all the entertainment that I can, as was requested earlier by someone who missed me the other night when I had to sit out the last game in Tampa. The back-to-back games in Tampa, I'll be on the rest of the regular season, although, newsflash, I'm going to miss the first playoff game. But we'll get to that when it's time. But check me out this Friday night, Arena Football Fridays, and of course, catch me again next Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, right here hosting the Game Plan. Get some more Arena Football players back on the air as well, but I wanted to get some NFL talk in today, and I appreciate Mr. Jason Baker joining me on the show. So as always, this is Anthony Heron from the Mitch Design Studio, telling you to keep doing your thing, America. Just do it better. Catch you next time.
That's all we have time for this week. Join Anthony Big Ant Heron again next week for another edition of The Game Plan. Tune in Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.